Standing committees.
Senate File 97, introduced by Senator Coe, Tobacco Settlement Data Sharing, an act relating to the Wyoming Tobacco Settlement Fund. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 97, Tobacco Settlement Data Sharing, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kenner, Larson, Madden, Obermueller, and Paxson. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Senate File 117, introduced by Senator Rothfuss, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, Collection Agencies, an act relating to collection agencies. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 117, Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, Collection Agencies, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, Zvonitzer. Noes, Representatives Byrd, Edwards, and Lone. Signed, Representatives Zvonitzer, Chairman. Senate File 121, introduced by Senator Baldwin. Wyoming Pharmacy Act, Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming Pharmacy Act. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 121, engrossed, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Lone, Sweeney, and Zvonitzer. Signed, Representative Zvonitzer, Chairman. Senate File 170, introduced by Senator Dockstader, Unmanned Aircraft, an act relating to aeronautics. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 170, engrossed, Unmanned Aircraft, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 290 on House Bill 192, Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 290, concurrence request to House Bill 192, and I would like to turn the explanation of the request over to the good chair of appropriations.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, I still have a breath mint in my mouth, and I just walked in the room, so give me 1 second. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is really, I don't know if you remember this. I'll just give you a quick reminder. This was a bill where we added $10 to the filing fee in civil and criminal matters, and the filing fee was to be used for the court automation system. This is a filing fee that went into effect in about 2000, and over time, the responsibilities of this court automation goes to the Supreme Court, and then beneath the Supreme Court, they have an entire, basically a sub-agency, and their whole purpose is to create automatic court filings, electronic court filings, and then they work with all of the county clerks. They now have 13 full-time employees, and basically these 13 employees do nothing but assist the county clerks or the county clerks of court in order to creating a unified system for all the types of filings across the state. And so four of these employees do nothing but drive around the state and help upgrade and educate and allow the clerks to operate. So it's all these funds, almost all these funds, go to the benefit of the various courthouses and the county clerks of court around the state, both county, district court, and in some instances where the cities want to participate, the city courts. So they came and before the session, that made a presentation to some of the attorneys that are in the legislature and explained the reason that they were out of funds, didn't have enough money to do the corrections that are needed, and into and they brought to us basically a 7-year plan on how to implement this plan, and they said we need $15 per filing fees in order to implement our plan. Well, being the misers that we are, particularly on the House side, and particularly me, I said, I don't want to pay you that much. I want you to be able to do this with $10. And so they said, okay, but we're going to have to come back and ask for more funds sooner than anticipated, and we won't be able to implement it as fast as we implement. So essentially then, it passed the House at $10. It went over to the other side. They made the presentation on what the actual costs are and what their full 8-year plan on their build-out plan is, and quite frankly, that's $15 per filing and not $10. And so they said, look, if we're going to do this, let's fund it right, let's fund it appropriately so you can actually incorporate all the plans that you have. And so that's what we have from the Senate side. Did I ask for concurrence on it? I don't think I did. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move concurrence for message number 290 for House Bill number 192, and I will ask for your aye vote on this. And I'm asking on your aye vote because this is basically the plan that was presented to us. This is the amount of money they need in order to carry out the courtroom upgrades and to carry out the what they have to do to implement the upgrades in their 8-year plan. And if you look at the amendment, all it does, it looks complicated, but it's not. All it does is add $5 all the way down the line. And the only other change is they allow the municipalities who go into the e-file. So that means if you have an e-citation, it allows them to keep $10 instead of $5, and which encourages those local entities to adopt and to pay for an e-filing system, which facilitates the filing and paying of tickets for the folks, and actually helps have the local folks pay for that system. And frankly, that won't pay for the system. It's just an assistance for it. So all this thing does is it goes from $10 to $15 for the filing fee. All these funds will go to operate our local circuit courts and our local district courts and those municipal courts who decide to participate in the system. So it's consistent with the original plan that was presented. It's the amount of money that they asked for initially, and it really is a good program. It will make our presentation of justice more efficient and actually will bring the technology around our courts in the state up to speed, make them uniforms, and you have to do that in order to have electronic filing and to share the data between the courts. So I would ask for your favorable vote and be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any members, your first time, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So can you explain this whole section that the state agencies are going to be not subject to the fee until a certain date, and I guess members of the public will be?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Now, we are on second reading debate rules. So for your first time, any other members for your first time? Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just have a question here. In what you were testifying to there, this is the extra $5 is for the upgrades. So once the upgrades are finished, what will these fees go down to, or what will these new taxes go down to?
Any other members for their first time? Representative Henderson.
First for a second, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members first time? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This isn't a tax. This is for filing fees in civil court. And that our fees within this state are extremely low, the lowest around. And I don't have the numbers in hand, but they're at least 400% less than what it is to access the federal court system, which it does have electronic filing system. And the beauty of electronic filing system is that it saves litigants a tremendous amount of money. because that means that as an attorney, you can sit at your desk, finish your pleadings, and you can send them off with a push of the button, rather than having to take them over, having them delivered, or in particular, if you've got to send out copies to all the other interested parties in it. It really is a money saver for the litigants in the long run. And so while I know we've had a lot of fees come up throughout this session, this is something that will be much beneficial for those people using the civil jurisprudence or civil court system in the future. So I'd encourage you to follow the lead of our Chair of Appropriations here.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I want to respond to the question that came from a representative from House District 57. That had to do with why the Section 2 was added about the state agencies. And the state agencies are, don't have to have these fee increases because we're budgeting their budget. And so they have already established their budget. And so to have them, all of them hit them with more money, that's money that we would have to appropriate to them. So we're holding them harmless in the short term. We're holding those agencies harmless in the short term until we go through the budget cycle again, and we will take that into consideration at that time. And so to be clear, we're talking about that agency that deals with child protection, adult protection, and they are in the court system considerable amount of time. And since we're the ones that fund them, general funds fund them, that's why they're being held harmless for this first component of the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for your first time? Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to speak out in support of this measure. The good country lawyer pointed out that litigants can save a great deal of money. I had an example where I inherited a lawsuit that had a filing deadline of the next day, and we ended up, and it was a case up in that community with number one on their license plates, number one on the heart. And we had to hire somebody just to drive up there, and it cost us quite a bit of money. So $15 is a pretty small price to pay when compared to what we ended up having to charge our client. This is a money-saving measure, and I agree again with the country lawyer, this is not a tax. This is a cost of doing business with the state, and sometimes those prices go up, and this is a money well spent.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We already gave them 100% increase. This gives them 150% increase in fees, and is that proper? That's just my question to the body. Thank you.
Representative Olson.
Just a first for a second.
Any other members for your first time? Okay, we're on second time. Any members for their second time? Representative Gray.
I would encourage no vote on concurrence. I just think it's wrong to exempt these state agencies. I think the fee, I don't think it's the right approach here. And I also think that on the back end of this, I want you to keep in mind that if we do this, there should not be any exception requests for this on the back end. In the future, we don't know what's going to happen, but I don't have the confidence that's not going to happen. So I'd urge a no vote here.
Any other members, second time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to kind of put it in a nutshell, so we're adding it. So if you file a lawsuit, now you got to pay an extra $15. So we got the litigants who pay an extra $15. The other folks that pay for this on the criminal end are the ones who are sentenced. It's usually part of the sentencing. So those are the folks that are paying this fee. And the fee right now doesn't pay for the services that they're currently providing. For the last three biennium, they've come in with exception requests, and we pay that out of general funds. So in the big picture, what we're really doing is saying, folks, if you're filing lawsuits or if you're being convicted, you need to pay these automation fees, and it shouldn't come out of the general fund. So it's a win-win for the folks, for the counties, for the courts, for the court system, and the folks that should be paying for it are the ones that are paying for it. So I'd appreciate your eyeball.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 192. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem. Excused. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Grew.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Aye. Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
No.
No. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zawanitzer.
No.
No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Oh, Clem?
No.
Clem, excuse to no. Closing vote, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 44 aye, 16 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 192. The next message for our consideration is message number 304 on House Bill 129, Chairman, Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move concurrence message number 304 to House Bill 129 and ask for your aye vote. Folks, this goes back to the amendments we made to the Food Freedom Act. And as you remember, mainly what the bill did was expand the definitions of food freedom and expand the products that it entailed, including home processed foods, and also added rabbits to it. But what the Senate did over there was to also further include the sale of farm-raised fish, and this is farm-raised fish as is defined and laid out by Title 23 statutes for the Game and Fish Department and how they define and regulate that. And then it was also further amended to say that, yes, it would be farm-raised fish, but not including catfish, because catfish are federally regulated, and obviously the point of food freedom is to to not be involved in federally regulated foods. So that's sort of the gist of it, and I would ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Any other members? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just a question. I'm just curious why catfish has been pulled out of this.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The reason catfish are not allowed under this is catfish are the only fish that are federally inspected. So if we were to include catfish under this, we would actually be breaking the Federal Meat Inspection Act. So eye on the concurrence.
Any other members, first time? Question? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 129, a majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Grew. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Aye. Lauks. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermueller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pieperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 129. The next message for our consideration is message number 306 on House Bill 27. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message number 306 to House Bill 27, School Facility Property Insurance, and ask you to vote no. What the Senate did is they went in and they put in a big amendment onto this bill that actually doubled the length of the bill. And what they've done is they've asked that the school retention, the school district joint powers board that has the school retention in it, go through and prove to everybody that they can cover the coverage that they've been covering. My understanding is that this particular board has $200 million in reserves, but there's a particular senator who has decided that he wants to have that pushed out. Also on page 2, in the middle of it, that they said that you don't have to put insurance on anything of a value of less than $100,000. And so what they'll do if they have a building or whatever it is, that an outbuilding that gets hail damage on it, they'll come to school facilities and say, hey, can you give us some money for that? I think that's wrong. So I'm just asking you to vote no on this particular concurrence. Thank you.
Any other members for the first time? Second time. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. Majority elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Lauks.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Obermueller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Allen, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 4 aye, 56 no.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 27. I appoint Conference Committee Chairman Paxton, members Northrop, and Representative Northrop and Representative Zwanitzer. The next message for our consideration is message number 307 to House Bill 55, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I vote for your concurrence on House Bill 55. And, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you've pulled out and looked at the amendment that came from our good folks across the hall, but it's pretty incomprehensible. And what it did was it adds about 6 years of additional verbiage for actions in modifying the annual spending policy for the Permanent Wyoming Mental Trust Fund and also for the Permanent School Fund. And it creates an incremental reduction of what those flows are in term and where they go. And it really, it doesn't make sense. It's completely contrary to what we did in House Bill 55. And so I think to make it simple, I would just ask for your no vote on this, and we'll see what if they can come up with a little better thinking when we get to committee.
Any members for your first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. Majority of elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
No. Bightman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
No. Bovey.
No.
Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kenner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
No.
Laux. No. McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Pawnell.
No.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz. No. Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 no.
Members, by your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 55. I appoint Conference Committee Chairman Representative Wilson, Representative Steinmetz, and Representative Harshman. The next message for our consideration is House Bill's is message number 310 to House Bill 79, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I would move for your concurrence on House Bill 79, and I will ask for your favorable vote on this particular measure. If you look at the concurrence requested, they changed on page 2. You may remember this is the state funds equity investment pool. This allows the state treasurer to invest funds in the pool accounts, and we selected particular funds that he can use to implement the statutory, the constitutional change that we passed here that allows investments in equities in those pooled accounts, which are not the permanent inviolate accounts. And if you go to page 2, what it, this is just really a correctional amendment, because on page 2, line 6, there's a 70% representing what can be invested in equities and in corporations. And if you go down to line 20, it's 60%. Well, I don't know if you probably don't remember when I explained this bill, but I had a hard time explaining why it was 60 and 70. And the reason was is because they really ought to be the same number. And so that's really, it's just a correctional component of it. And then the other thing that this amendment does, it makes the bill effective immediately so that the state treasurer can begin immediately putting together the packages and implement the change, the statute, the constitutional changes that, that we recently passed. So that's the only two things this does. So one's really a correctional one, and one is just the effective date. So I'd move for your aye vote.
Any other members for your first time? Question being called. We are voting on motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 79. A majority of the elected members, actually I believe two-thirds of the elected members, is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Baker. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown. No. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Garou. Aye. Gray. No. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen. No. Pawnell. Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. No. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem, to confirm your vote, was it no? It was no. Okay. Thank you. Closing vote, are there any changes? Brown, no to aye. Blackburn, further changes? Closing vote, the vote is closed, 48 aye, 12 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 79. The next message for our consideration is message number 318 on House Bill 90, Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message 318 on House Bill 90 and ask for an aye vote. About a year ago, we had a bill come through that allowed a military personnel outside the state to apply for a permit to carry a concealed firearm under this section without having to come back to Wyoming and appear. So we brought House Bill 90 this year to extend that same privilege to this military person's family members. When our colleagues in the North analyzed it, they found that made things quite fuzzy. What do you do about a stepchild? What do you do about Cousin Harry? What do you do about a child who's over the age of 21 and should be on his own in these matters, but was going to get some sort of free ride. Anyway, it muddied the waters beyond recognition. So they trimmed the bill back to it's just the spouse of the serviceman who gets the same privilege of getting to get their permit without having to appear personally in Wyoming. So, again, I urge an aye vote.
Any members for your first time? Question being called. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 90. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 90. The next message for our consideration is message number 324 to House Bill 139, Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message number 324 for House Bill 139, School Finance Court Ordered Placement, and ask for your favorable vote. What the Chairman of Education over on the Senate side did was he changed language on page 2 of the bill that used to read, contracts with another district to provide educational services to children. He changed it to say, pays another district to provide educational services to children pursuant to the contract. So he was just trying to narrow it down a little bit more. It doesn't hurt the bill any at all. And this is the bill that deals with stopping the double dipping of schools and courts on the same account. So we're just trying to get one account paying for it. Please vote favorably. Thank you.
Any members for your first time? Question being called. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen. Aye. Pawnell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139. The next message for our consideration is message number 325 to House Bill 32. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to concur with message 325 on House Bill 32, the Ski Safety Act, and recommend your aye vote. What our colleagues did on the other end is they put in, if you look on here, they put back in some, or entered some language that would increase the duties of the ski area operator to mark hydrants and water pipes and other man-made structures on the slopes and trails, and that they would cover those structures with shock-absorbent material and so forth. And then on the second page, they inserted another new clause that said that the maintenance equipment that the ski area was employing out on the slopes to groom or maintain the trails, the ski area operator would place a notice or a sign in a conspicuous place so that at the top of the slope so that skiers would see that and know that there was machinery down below grooming the trail and to watch out for it. So vote your conscience. I would move to concur. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'm going to ask you to vote no on this, vote not to concur. So, again, a little bit of background. This was a committee, interim committee bill, and when it went over to the Senate side, it actually went to a committee that did not deal with this during the interim. This was a TRW interim committee bill, and this did not go to TRW on the other side. Went somewhere else. So that's number one. Number two, we've got two new amendments which no one in this body has ever seen before or has it really been discussed. And there's some issues that I take with some of these. For instance, if you have your white paper in front of you, so they add a new subparagraph K. And it says, a ski area operator shall mark hydrants, water pipes, and all other man-made structures on slopes and trails which are not readily visible to skiers under conditions of ordinary visibility from a distance of 100 feet. What are they going to mark them with? Are they going to mark them with flags? Are they going to put paint on there? Are they going to, is it, it has to be a certain color, fluorescent or something like that? What exactly are they going to be covered with? It goes on and it talks about any type of marker shall be sufficient under this subparagraph. Okay, so we got that. So there's some of those things. So I guess you can do anything you want to. Then it talks here, man-made structures shall not include variations of steepness or terrain. Well, in terrain parks, you do have man-made structures. Does that mean that these things don't have to be marked? I guess there's just some real questions there. The other thing is on the back here, then we have a subparagraph M. And the subparagraph M says, whenever ski maintenance equipment is being employed. Well, in the original bill, members, if you'll recall, we said that if there's ski area equipment, whether that's grooming equipment or maybe it's a snowmobile or something, that we specified in the bill that I think up to a distance of at least 5 feet, then you had to have a marker on your vehicle. Well, now what we're saying is if there's any kind of vehicle on the slopes, that you're going to have a sign somewhere that's warning skiers that, hey, there could be a vehicle out there that's grooming, or it could be a snowmobile that's picking up an injured skier or what have you. And so I think there's just some real questions here and some things that we really should speak to the other side before passing this thing through and enacting it into law. So I would ask you to urge no on this, or ask you to vote no on this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too would encourage a no vote. And no one, everyone knows how I feel about this bill. But if you actually liked the concept of this bill early on, you should now vote no and discuss this further. Because in Wyoming, we have the Recreational Safety Act, which provides protection for people providing services regarding inherent risk. Okay? This bill came along and was going to beef that up for one industry. Okay, pass out this body, I accept that. But now what we have is a bill that's going to impose additional duties on those people providing those services. I can't believe that industry that this is supposed to protect is supporting this bill as it is now drafted. We now have a bill that doesn't just talk about inherent risk, as is defined for any recreational activity, or in this case for skiing. We now have one that imposes duties that may or may not be reasonable, may or may not be the inherent risk associated with the activity. I'd encourage you to vote no. If you're in support of this bill, that's great, but vote no and fix the language. If you don't like the bill, vote no, and then maybe we can just get rid of it altogether. But that's okay. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Honor and support of the concurrence. It seems to be a pretty good addition, and I believe I would have heard from my ski area if they would have felt that this amendment was out of line. So sometimes we try to get bills to conference committee to kill them. I don't believe we need to kill this bill, and I think this is a good concurrence. Honor and support.
Representative Larson, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got the giggles when I read this. I just, it's really quite ambiguous in my opinion, and so everything has to be marked with a marker, but any type of marker shall be sufficient. So is that, can we make a marker out of rabbit pelts? Could we maybe tie a dog up there and have that dog be the marker? But then if somebody didn't know, they hit the dog and said, well, I didn't know the dog was a marker. I thought the dog was just tied up there to some man-made structure. It just cracks me up that what the imagination can do with the language in this bill, when it really ought to be pretty specific on how to direct us in what it is we're trying to protect and how we're going to do it. It should be the structures have to be covered with a shock absorbent material that will lessen industries. Is that another human body or what? What is the shock absorbent material and how do we determine what that is? I think we ought to send this in back with a no concurrence, please.
Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for concurrence, I can tell you that from my recollection, the language that has been added actually is a lot more in line with what the interim committee worked on, and that it is closer to the interim committee bill that was brought forth. The adding of going from 2 to 4 years on the time that you can bring a case against, I think makes the bill stronger. I think our friends in the Senate, or in the other body, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, the folks down the hall must have had their hearing aids turned up or something, but I think they've made this bill better. I think that it is worth our concurrence, and I would urge you to vote same. Thank you.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would urge you not to concur with this concurrence request. And for similar reasons, whether you're for or against the bill, I think the language is ambiguous, but also we're extending the statute of limitations on page 10, line 15, from 2 to 4 years. And then we're also making the language ambiguous, so I think it defeats the purpose of the bill and would ask you to vote no.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of concurrence, I served on the committee during interim, and my recollection of the discussion was, although on one side we were discussing what the inherent risks of skiing are to protect the ski resorts, we were also discussing things ski resorts needed to do to protect the skiers on the slopes. And I consider these amendments part and parcel of that conversation, and I support the concurrence.
Any other member for their first time? Moving to second time. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, whether you're for or against this bill, I really would ask you to vote no. Let us go and talk to our friends over on the other side. You know, I was just reading here again in K, and again, you talk about that ambiguous language that we keep hearing about. And it says we should appropriately cover the structures with shock-absorbent material. Well, what is that? What does that mean? Does that mean a quarter inch of foam? Does that mean a half an inch? What exactly does that mean? I mean, for instance, we heard in testimony about a skier who actually did crash into one of these poles that was covered. And if it was determined later on, though, that covering, even though it was shock-absorbent material, there was a foam thing around it, that it wasn't thick enough. But when we put it in statute, that what we're saying, it doesn't matter what the thickness is as long as it's shock-absorbent. And you know what? It doesn't matter if the ski industry was negligent, really, and covering that thing up. They just went for the cheapest alternative possible. But now they're immune from lawsuits. That's not right. That's not right to our citizens here of this great state. So again, we need to tighten up this language. I would ask you to vote no in concurrence. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? We're on second time. Second time. Anyone else for their second time? Question being called. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 32. A majority of the members elected is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd. No.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Schwartz?
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Lindholm. Aye. To no. Pelkey. No. To aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 24 aye, 36 no.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 32. I'm going to hold off on conference committee on that for a minute. Our next order of business is consideration of joint conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is joint conference committee report number 1 on House Bill 113, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of joint conference committee report message 281 to the House Bill 113, which is the Medicaid waiver program. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the Senate did some nice work, added a nice amendment to the bill, but there was a technical issue that we needed to clear up. And so in your box, when we get these, and I think this may be the first one we have, or first one I've looked at in detail, a lot of times they redo a lot of the bill to make that, to accomplish what is needed. So this is a solid what we did, what they did, and then takes care of that technical issue that we had. And so I would ask for you to vote aye on adoption of this and move this forward. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Any members for their first time? Seeing none. We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1, Message 281. This report is to House Bill Number 113. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Bird.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson. Olson. Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 113. We're at that order of business of our one bill today on second reading. The bill for our consideration is Senate File 105. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 105, sponsored by Senator Scott, Uniform Power of Attorney Act. An act relating to powers of attorney.
We have an amendment. Representative Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 105. I'll explain this briefly. So yesterday I was asking some questions about the effect of existing durable powers of attorney to make sure that we had protections for those people who have had a power of attorney prepared and one, don't come in and get it updated, which is kind of common, but two, as concerned as is the case with several people I know, they're already incapacitated. They really can't come in and update their power of attorney. So I worked with one of the groups who is supporting this, and this is the amendment we came up with, and it just makes it very clear that a power of attorney, and it's inserted on page 90, and it starts, I'm not turning to it in the bill, but it starts on page 89. It talks about existing powers of attorney that are properly executed, and then that they are still valid, and that you can go back within the act itself and use a certification process, which is provided for in the act. So with this, my question is solved. The people I were concerned about are protected, And so I would stand for any questions or ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Any members for your first time? Question being called. We are voting. My apologies. Chairman Eklund.
I do have one question. Since it is a Uniform Act, by amending it this way, we don't mess that up. I guess I need to be clear that we don't.
Any other members for their first time? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So what's actually being added here looks to me to be within current statute. And so we're not actually going into the act itself. And maybe that's incorrect, but this is clarifying language to what the act, whether it's an act or not, this is clarifying language, and that's not going to harm the intent of the uniform language. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Second time? For the sponsor? Okay. Question being called. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 105. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate file 105, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We're now at that order of business of bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: Senate file 14, 51, 66, 133, 147.
Would any member like any of those bills? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request Senate File 14 to be removed from the consent list.
Senate File 14 is removed from the consent list. Any other member or any other bill? The reading clerk will please read the bills through the enacting clause.
Senate File 51, sponsored by Appropriations, approval of water funds transfer. An act relating to water, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 66, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Title 25 Payment Obligations, Federal Entities. An act relating to the hospitalization of mentally ill persons, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 133, sponsored by Senator Hastert. Postmortem despoiling penalties, an act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 147, sponsored by Appropriations, livestock inspections and investigators, an act relating to livestock, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Bightman.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem. Connolly.
Aye.
Court. Crank,
aye.
Dayton, Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Ayer,
aye.
Flitner,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Furphy,
aye.
Guru,
aye.
Gray,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Haley,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Henderson,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kinner, 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 aye. Kirkbride,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lone,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
McGuire,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Obermuller,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Ponell,
aye.
Salazar,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Sweeney, Walters,
aye.
Wilson, Wilson, Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Wilson. Wilson excused. We have 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received...
Wait. Got to start. That was just the first one. As for Senate File 51, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As for Senate File 66, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As for Senate File 133, are there any changes? Walters, aye, to no. Laux, aye, to no. Lindholm, aye, to no. Nicholas, aye, to no. Summers, aye, to no. Clausen, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Greer, aye, to no. Larson Lloyd, aye, to no. Northrup, aye, to no. Burkhart, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Blackburn, aye, to no. Ayer, aye, to no. Flitner, aye, to no. Larson Dan, aye, to no. Wilson, excused to aye. Further changes, Miller, aye, to no. Schwartz, further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 41 aye, 19 no. As for Senate File 147, are there any changes? Gray, aye, to no. Hunt, aye, to no. Clem, aye, to no. Northrup, aye, to no. Sweeney, aye, to no. Clausen, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Biteman, aye, to no. Wilson, excused to aye. Hallinan, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Ponell, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Baker, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Winters, aye, to no. Blackburn, aye, to no. Larson Dan, aye, to no. Zwanitzer, aye, to no. Henderson, aye, to no. Greer, aye, to no. Flitner, aye, to no. Further changes. Obermuller, aye, to no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 34 aye, 26 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 51, 66, 133, and 147 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Regular list, the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 14. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 14, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Inoperative Liquor Licenses, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 14, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Crank. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Edwards? No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. No. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup. Aye. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pieperinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Crank. Crank. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 51 aye, 8 no, 1 excused.
Senate File 14, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 14 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Special Districts Elections, an act relating to special districts. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 16, having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. No. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovey. Aye. Brown. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird. Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. No. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. No. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Giroux. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Henderson. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. No. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. Aye. Miller. Aye. Nicholas. Aye. Northrup. No. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. Aye. Pieperinen. Pieperinen. Aye. Ponell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. Aye. Summers. Aye. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. Aye. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Crank. No to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. Halverson? No. Nope. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 54 aye, 6 no.
Senate File 16, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 16 has passed the House. I'd announce Conference Committee on House Bill 32. Chairman Zwanacher, Representatives Greer and Representatives Guru. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, sponsored by Education. Education, Hathaway Scholarship Program 2, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37 and ask you to vote favorably. What I have done in this amendment, there's a corrected one in your inbox. The corrected one is just to delete high school out of page 2, line 6, and so that it would read, starting up on line 5, shall include a measure to account for academic rigor of courses in accordance with the rule and regulation of the department. And that leaves it up to the department to come up with the rules and regulations on how to do this, which courses will be, and kind of takes our fingers out of the pie. Please vote yes.
Any members for your first time? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. Senate File 37, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. No. Blake.
Aye.
Bovey. Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen. Aye. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Long. No. Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar. Salazar, no. No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye, 8 no.
Senate File 37. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 37 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Department of Family Services, statutory amendments, an act relating to the Department of Family Services, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move through third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 63, and I ask for your favorable consideration. So, friends, let me tell you what's going on here as you look at this monster of an amendment. Okay, so obviously I did not just come up with this in the past day or so, but so if you could bear with me. All right, so this agency, and I think I can say it because it is part of the catch title, the Department of Family Services, had two primary issues come up over the interim. The first was simply these statutory amendments, and the second was a bigger one that was related to child support enforcement. They asked that child support enforcement be put on an interim committee because of an issue actually that came up in this body a couple of years ago. But they are obligated under statute to update their tables every 4 years. So I saw, so we're kind of, when they asked that the issue be put on the interim committee for our committee number one, it got to the bottom of the list and it didn't happen. So I saw one of the division administrators in December when I was here for the JAC hearings who said, we need an individual sponsor for our child support enforcement bill. So I readily agreed. Okay. So then what happened is we have a bill that has in it simply updating the tables as they're obligated to do.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Representative Clem, what's your point?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe this is germane to the bill. I mean, this is talking about we're talking about Department of Family Services statutory amendments. Here we're amending the bill title and adding these things in, and so I don't believe it's germane.
Well, let's convene our rules committee, and we'll talk about it. Everybody can stretch your legs. Thank you, Representative Clem. Okay, members, House come to order. The Rules Committee has convened. We've, by consensus, really, I think, and a little, we've determined that Third Reading Amendment number one is not germane to the bill, and I'd ask the sponsor to withdraw at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw third reading amendment number one.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 63 has been withdrawn. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim. McKim. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Allen.
Aye.
McKim. Okay.
We'll hold the vote open here for a minute.
McKim, on Senate File 63, aye. Closing vote, are there any changes? Closing vote, the vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 no.
Senate File 63, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 63 has passed the House. Members, before we move to the next order of business, which is consideration of bills on general file, we have a very special performance by the University of Wyoming's very own male cappella group, the Happy Jacks. This group is auditioned out of the larger University of Wyoming men's choir, the Singing Statesmen. The Happy Jacks perform a wide range of hits that include classics from the 60s, which will be a hit with many of these members. I might add, more contemporary chart toppers and original compositions. Fellow representatives, please help me in welcoming to the floor of the House of Representatives, the Happy Jacks. Hey, gentlemen, hold on just a minute. Can you guys come on back for a minute? Have you already performed down the hall at the Senate?
Yeah, I did
that
already.
So you're not in a big hurry? I think you got an encore in you?
Yeah.
I mean, we're just working on Senate files, that's all. We can work 5 minutes longer. That's not a problem. So as you get ready, we really appreciate you coming over. And I just, you look at the faces of the members out here, and I've said it before, I mean, it's right in the old, wow, we really needed that category. And so we really appreciate you coming over, and we really look forward to you staying in the state of Wyoming and continue to build our great state. So we're really proud of you. And heck, we want you to sing one more, maybe two more. So we appreciate it. You got one more? I think you got one more. This is a big-time double encore. It's not very often where we get a free concert. Well, thank you very much, Happy Jacks. That was that certainly, I think, made our week. And we appreciate those students traveling over here today to share their talents with us. And so now we're at that order of business, members, of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, the body should have a new blue sheet list that's has a time of 12:34 on it. The first five bills on general file will be Senate File 113, 124, 155, 158, and Senate File 26. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Representative Crank. Right on. Yeah.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for your consideration will be Senate File 113. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 113, sponsored by Senator Nethercott. Felony fleeing or eluding police, an act relating to regulation of traffic on highways. Mr. Chairman, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 113 engrossed felony fleeing or eluding police, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Bightman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pownell, Salazar, Winters. Noes, Representatives Baker and Pelkey. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report It do so with the recommendation that Senate File 113 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment, which I will explain. It occurs on page 2, lines 16 and 17, and the committee determined that for this kind of infraction to reach the felony level, that the damage threshold should be raised at $5,000 in this day and age is almost just a fender bender, so we raised the $5,000 up to $10,000.
You've heard the motion, the standing committee minutes. Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Standing committee amendment number one having been adopted, we are back on the bill. Chairman Kirkbright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And for the explanation of the bill, I give you our good colleague from House District 52.
Representative Ponnell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill was brought to us from folks that actually serve us and serve to protect us. So what this bill does, it's an act regulating to the regulation of traffic on highways and amending provisions relating to fleeing or attempting to elude police officers and providing for a penalty and providing for an effective date. Currently in the statute, and it's basically 315-225, fleeing or attempting to elude police officers, the penalty is a misdemeanor. And basically what we've done, or what during the committee, is added a paragraph to this bill. And I can read as except as provided in subsection C of this section, every person convicted of fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer shall be punished by a fine of not more than $750 and or imprisonment for not more than 6 months, and which would be the misdemeanor. What we added was paragraph C, aggravated fleeing or attempting to elude a police officer is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 10 years, a fine of not more than $10,000, or both. And if in the course of the committing violation under subsection A of this section, the driver causes serious bodily injury to another person, causes property damage to property of another person in the amount exceeding $10,000 now, and, of course, in violates of Wyoming Statute 315-229. And, of course, this would take effect if we pass it July 1, 2017. You know, I did hand out some papers, which in my color would be purple and pink. If it's in your inbox, if you have not had a chance to look at it, if you could pull that out and kind of review it. It does explain the reasons for adding this penalty. And also it shows, also on the pink copy, it shows some of the surrounding states and other states and that do have felony penalties on eluding. So what I would like to see is, you know, why would we amend this to an aggravated charge? Would basically aggravated and fleeing and eluding charges to be brought to a felony level. The reason in this statute is if it does cause serious bodily injury, causes property damage over $10,000, and, of course, violates the reckless driving statute, which requires that a driver display willful and wanton disregard for the safety of persons or property. Currently, what this would fall under is the in the statute from some of the surveys that were out there, this is not going to cover, you know, many of the pursuits that are ongoing today. From their stats from the surrounding area around the state here, from different agencies, it would only be a small percentage of those pursuits, which would be between a third and a quarter of the pursuits. So this is not a bill that's going to impact the young kids, because, you know, we heard some of the issues that young kids would be penalized for some stupid mistake. Well, in many cases, the young kids are not involved in these high-speed chases. It's usually adults that are older and are already probably in the criminal system. But what happens when these chases go on is that it does increase the risk of the public, of them actually losing their life, or the officer involved in the chase, or serious damage to other individuals' property. So what this bill does is bring it up to what other bills or other statutes that kind of fall in this same line. Vehicles in these high-speed chases are considered a deadly weapon. And so if you look in one of the sheets, that the purple sheet, is why the sentence or why this would be appropriate, is that it's kind of similar in the same cases or crimes that would have aggravating circumstances, such as, and damage. Right now, currently, damage over $1,000 is a felony. And then, of course, and it's subject to imprisonment from 0 to 10 years. And for aggravated escape or aggravated assault and escape from a detention, is also has the same penalty. So what this bill is trying to do is bring in line with the current statutes we have out there. So I'll be brief on this, and we'll take questions on the bill, because I'm sure there'll be some, and would urge your support of this bill. This bill, I believe, will deter some of the eluding, which there is an uptick of it. There seems to be more and more, and that's what the reports are, is that the individuals are starting to flee more and more from the police, and they figure they have no consequences they have to answer to. And in more and more of these cases, we're going to see serious injury. We're going to see incidents where death may occur. And this is what we're trying to prevent. So I urge your support of this bill, and would take questions. Thank you.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. So I appreciate the bringer of the bill and what they're trying to do, particularly with where it causes seriously bodily injury to any other person. You know, the amount of damage that and I start to get shaky on. And then just by violating the reckless driving standard while fleeing. And I guess my question to the bringer of the bill is, talk a little bit more about youth. So are youth treated the same way as adults in this situation? And would some kid gets pulled up behind by a cop and decides to flee, and anytime you flee a cop, I would assume it's reckless driving. You're not going to go 5 miles an hour as you leave a police officer. So talk to me a little bit more, Mr. Chairman, about how youth will be handled under this statute, and about a little bit more about why we drug in or reckless driving. I can see some level of property damage. I can understand causes seriously bodily injury, but why did the bringer of the bill drag in the reckless driving statute for a felony?
Representative Ponell.
Well, it's as far as the kids fleeing, in some cases, there is speed. They're gonna. Probably go over 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour. But in most cases, they're not going to go very far. They're going to realize their errors and pull over and stop. They're not going to, and I'm not going to say in every case, but in most cases, they're going to stop. They're not going to reach that level of a felony. It's not reckless driving just because you speed down the highway, stay in the traffic lane. You're not diverting over into the oncoming lane or trying to cause an accident or trying to force people off the roadway. That doesn't raise to that level in this statute. It's the willful and wanton disregard and respect for the person, another person, trying to injure them, and also trying to cause serious damage along with a serious bodily injury. Yeah, and of course, if there is a death, there is another charge out there that they can already be charged with, felony. We're trying to prevent that. There's cases out there where individuals that have caused death in these eluding situations, and they were charged. But it's the cases where there was no felony. The reason they were fleeing wasn't a felon, and the reason, they didn't have a felony charge that they were running from. And then from what the stats show, it shows that the kids are not the ones that are involved in these chases. They're a very small majority of them that would reach that level of felony. So, and that's just from the stats from the state of Wyoming. That's not from other states. So I'm just going by what's here in Wyoming. You know, even kids that when they take that driver's license test, they have to obey the laws and they need to understand those laws. And there's consequences if they do violate them. But again, majority of them don't fall under the felony level. And if they do, they would be charged. But there's other avenues that juveniles would have. If they're a juvenile, they can eventually get the case deferred, or there's other avenues that can happen. It depends on the seriousness of the crime. It depends on, how the court looks at it. So, it's all going to be done in court. The court's going to make that decision. I hope that answered your question.
Representative Flintner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to the bringer of the bill, forgive my ignorance. Would this also, with regard to reckless driving, would this pertain to an individual who plows into a bunch of livestock on the highway? If you were trailing livestock up the highway, I was just curious. Thank you.
Representative Pelkey, and we do have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was able to vote for this measure in committee. I did so reluctantly, and I think I've spent a few days wrestling with the issue, and I'm particularly concerned about the provision that essentially felonizes reckless driving. What we do is we refer to the statute, the reckless driving statute, any person who drives any vehicle in a willful or wanton disregard for the safety of persons or property is guilty of reckless driving. If you're engaged in an attempt to elude police officers, we're suddenly facing up to 10 years. That's a pretty broad definition. And frankly, I've seen some of the examples of the escapes, and some of the other two provisions, property damage and serious bodily injury, can be covered in other parts of Wyoming law. And I'm frankly concerned about creating a new felony, and so I'm rising in opposition to this measure. And I do so with the utmost respect for my friend, the former sheriff.
Representative Pelkey, are you moving the amendment?
To apologize, I did not realize that the amendment had been distributed. I didn't see it on my desk. My amendment eliminates a felony. I move the amendment, it eliminates the felony and turns it into a misdemeanor. And I would urge folks to consider that as I go back to my desk and get the printout.
We are on committee of the whole, amendment number one. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the amendment and against the bill if the amendment doesn't pass. And I just want to bring a couple things to the body's attention because I was on the committee and voted against this bill. One is that it's becoming more and more difficult, and I saw this on social media this morning, that our state police agency is now moving to, I believe, 5 unmarked vehicles. And it makes it more difficult to identify these vehicles. And I know that there's a school of thought around the country that feels like if you see lights behind you, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's law enforcement. And what you should do is, as opposed to pulling over, especially in rural areas in the middle of the night, as opposed to pulling over, that what you should do is call 911 to verify that it's law enforcement behind you before you pull over and put yourself in that situation. So As these agencies, and this agency, I think it's maybe a good idea, but they're moving towards making these vehicles less identifiable. So in by accident, if you feel like you're in this situation and you're not sure if it's law enforcement or not, you're a felon. So I think it's important that we move this to a misdemeanor. Secondly, is we had testimony in committee that the individuals generally that participate in this action are felons in the first place. And in the real world, the way that it works is these charges are often pleaded out or dropped. And as a felon, when they're fleeing law enforcement, they're not considering whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony. They're just thinking about getting away. So just keep that in mind. The real world, most of these people are felons anyway. I've tried to get information about the number of pursuits that have taken place, about how many of these individuals were felons prior to the pursuit, and I can't get that information right offhand, but if I can get it, I'll let the body know.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finally got a copy of my own amendment. What I want to urge people to consider is, and again, I'm concerned primarily with the inclusion of reckless driving and turning that into a felony. What I want to do is delete in the catch title the word felony. On page 2, line 6, delete a felony. Page 2, line 7, delete 10 years and insert 1 year, and then delete the second 10, and then reduce the penalty from $10,000 to $5,000. That still would be a serious misdemeanor, and rarely do you see misdemeanors carrying that kind of financial fine. There's obviously restitution involved if there's damage, and there's certainly an array of charges that a defendant could face if there were serious bodily injury or serious property damage involved in the attempt to elude police. So I would urge this body to vote in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to oppose the amendment, and it's not without great hesitation, because I'm one of the last individuals who wants to create a new category of felonies, and I think many of you are in that category. But I think that the concern that's raised with the amendment is centered around reckless. So I want to take you back to that conversation, because I think if you reject this amendment, we can go back to the bill and have a conversation about reckless. And I think that we can perfect that on a second or third reading amendment. But first, if not, I want you to consider what reckless really means, what reckless driving is. It's not careless driving. There is a statutory provision for careless driving. It's a much lower level standard. The difference is the legal standard of willful and wanton. So reckless driving requires that the actor be willfully and wantfully engaging in the activity. In other words, intentional. That means intentional. That means when you drive in an unsafe manner, you must do it intentionally. Intentional is the highest standard that we impose in our legal realm. I'll compare it to murder. And when you're varying in your degrees of murder, what gets you to the first degree is that intentional standard. It's the absolute highest. So this isn't an individual just unsafely driving. In order to reach the level of reckless, again, they must intentionally disregard public safety, much different than a careless driving where an individual just disregards public safety, and there may be other reasons why they do it. So I want you to think about it in that context, and I think you were possibly sent some emails that may have shown you a really neat clip, which you don't have the advantage of on the floor, but we had that advantage in the Judiciary Committee to watch this video. And when you see an individual driving down the interstate on the wrong side of the road for an extended period of time, intentionally driving down the wrong side of the road, showing an utter and complete disregard for human safety, for women, children, you name it, your grandchild is probably in one of those vehicles. And the person doesn't, we're not even talking about an intoxicated person or a person on drugs. We are simply talking about a person driving down the wrong side of the road. Now, that alone would be reckless driving. That alone would have its possible own felony category. But now what we're adding into it is the individual eluding the police while doing that. And so I want you to consider that. Don't accept this amendment because you're hesitant about reckless. Let me say that I do believe that reckless by itself is a pretty big net. And I wouldn't mind seeing some amendments, which I know some are being crafted right now, to try to tighten that standard. Maybe impose a speed limit that an individual must be exceeding 30 miles an hour or more of the speed limit in addition to their intentional act. I think those are all reasonable considerations, but don't fall victim to the concept that reckless driving is the same as careless. They are much different standards. We are talking about the most heightened standards. So against the amendment and in favor of the bill, and at your pleasure, work it.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, I'll make this very brief. What you're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, of the 64th, is somebody who is out running away from the police officers, eluding the police officers with willful disregard for human life. This is a policy decision. Do you want that to happen and charge that as a misdemeanor crime? That's all we're asking here. I say no, we want to keep this at a felony. This is willful disregard for human life when they are running. Please, on and against this amendment.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the amendment. This bill was good up until the reckless driving portion. If we could just delete Romanet 3, I'd be happy. But this, including reckless driving and calling it a felony, this comes across the line between treating a guy because he's a bad guy or treating him as just because we're mad at him. Let's not go down this road. On and in favor of the amendment, take this out of the felony realm. Take reckless driving out of the felony realm. Thank you.
Chairman Zoniker.
Is that me? Oh, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on, I need maybe a legal interpretation. Right now, as the bill's written, if someone commits a misdemeanor offense and then they elude the police, they can be charged with a felony. I just want to make sure I have that right. Maybe that's the only concern I have. It seems weird to me that if somebody does a minor misdemeanor and the police try to pull them over and then all of a sudden they decide to do a high-speed chase, it just seems ironic that, you know, they're going to have a simple misdemeanor and all of a sudden we charge them with a felony. And I want to know how this amendment, if that counteracts that, or you'd have two misdemeanors, or how this would work in practice.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So on the amendment, I understand that we're trying to raise the bar a little bit, and the... The amendment is divisible, but I'm not going to take us through that pain. But I want to speak to something that I think there's a misunderstanding. There's a lot of talk about this reckless issue. And I want you to go to line 17, and there's an or there, folks. That's actually, for me, the most problematic thing of the bill. There's an or. So it means you can be charged for this aggravated fleeing or attempting for one of three things, and that under the current bill, and it's been changed a little bit with this amendment. Serious bodily injury or property damage, $5,000 with this amendment, or the reckless driving. So there's three actual things. And that's the problem I have with the bill is we're equating serious bodily harm with $5,000 worth of property with reckless driving. That's the issue with the bill that I have. And amendment up or down, that's a felony versus misdemeanor. We're going to have it, but there's a more fundamental issue with this bill, and that's that last component and how it's relating to the other three with some level of equivalency, because it's an or, not an and. It's not additive. It's or. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the Chairman's comment. I think it's very reasonable. Again, I'm concerned about the inclusion of reckless as a trigger for this penalty. And I remind the body that if an attempt to elude an officer involves serious bodily injury to another person or property damage right now under existing statute, $1,000, you could be charged with a felony already. The prosecutors in these cases have a quiver of resources, a quiver of options there, and this just adds to it. And frankly, I think the way the bill is written, it felonizes behavior that shouldn't be a felony.
Representative Pawnell.
Well, an answer, I would like to answer one of the questions that arose with an individual making a stop with an unmarked unit, which in statute that doesn't even apply. The unmarked unit wouldn't be involved in a high-speed chase. They have to be clearly marked, clearly have the insignias on it and the lights. And usually that goes with policy in most of the departments. But in the statute, it states that a clearly marked unit. So that part, and as far as somebody trying to elude an officer or thinking that it was a bad guy that tried to pull him over, that individual is probably not going to drive recklessly or trying to do a, you know, wanton disregard for other people's safety or lives. They'll probably drive down to either the police department, sheriff's office, or into a lighted area or parking lot so that there's more witnesses. So that's that thought process, that would not be a felony eluding, and it would not even be eluding. They wouldn't be charged with that. So, and that's the key. Many of these chases are not up to the felony level. It's a small percentage. But those small percentages are the ones that go out and put the risk of the citizens, the people we represent. It puts them at risk of being seriously injured or even killed. It also puts at risk of their property, of being, you know, a large amount of damage to it. That's what this bill is all about. It's not about the individual driving 40 or 50 miles an hour, or the as we all know, the story of the white Ford Bronco driving down the interstate with probably 40 or 50 police officers behind it. That wouldn't even reach a felony level. There was no willful or wanton intent to cause damage to anybody else. But look at it this way. If you have a weapon, and we consider it at this felony level on the vehicle, we consider it a deadly weapon. You look at somebody that has a gun and they take a shot at an individual, they miss. Are we going to say, well, gosh, better shot next time, you missed, and so we're just going to charge you with a misdemeanor? This particular case, on a felony level on these vehicles, is when that person intentionally tries to cause damage, cause injury, cause death, but hopefully doesn't, and that's where this falls into play. So I urge you to vote the amendment down, and when the bill comes, vote for the bill. I appreciate that. Thank you.
We are on committee, the whole amendment number one, Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, and I'm still not sure what to do in the bill yet. I guess help me out. The legal minds that are in this room need to help me here, because what we're saying here is at a certain level, if you flee from a police officer or elude a police officer, it's a felony offense. And the conditions here, just to recap, one of them is cause serious bodily injury to another person. So if you're in a vehicle and you are reckless and willful and wanton, and you're going down and you hit somebody, couldn't that person be charged, the person who hit the other person, couldn't that person be charged with attempted murder or some other serious felony-type crime? I guess what I'm trying to figure out is aren't there other crimes? Aren't there other things that police officers can charge? It's the same thing causing property damage. Now, I don't remember if we passed this thing last year or not. Remember, it was the budget session. We were looking at trying to raise the cap, I think, on felony destruction of property. And I don't know if in this case, and again, it's where I'm looking for those legal minds, if this case, if someone decided that they were going to just run over a street full of mailboxes and it rose up to that amount, and I think it was $2,000. Maybe we raised it up. I don't remember. But let's say it's $2,000. That's what I remember. You do $2,000 worth of property damage, doesn't that warrant a felony? And yeah, they're eluding police officers. I'm just saying that if they're doing these things, aggravated fleeing, if they're causing serious bodily injury or attempting to hurt other people, if they're causing serious property damage in the amount of $5,000 or more, if it is, well, we changed that to $10,000. Either way, I think it's felony destruction of property. I'm just saying, aren't there other things that they can charge them with? So why are we making it just, we're saying if you flee on top of that while you're doing those things, that's a felony too. So on and for the amendment, and again, I'm not so sure of the bill, but if we could get some of those answers, I guess, after the amendment, that'd be good too. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
We are in committee of the whole, amendment number one. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make this short and sweet. Just to answer that quick question there, you know, our police officers are, I guess I want to take a step back here. You have somebody who is running from a police officer with their lights on, with willful disregard for life and property, okay? That's what we're talking about. It's not the person who looks behind their mirror and does the Ford Bronco down the interstate at 20 miles an hour. That's not what we're talking about here. This is willful disregard, and they cause a lot of property damage. This is a lot harder to prove in court when you want to add on charges. And our police officers are not necessarily discouraged, but it's not looked favorably upon to continue to stack charges where not necessary. This is attempting to remove the stacking of those charges. This is saying, hey, we've got this one statute, we can write it on this. That's what we're trying to do here. If you are going to okay with saying that this is a misdemeanor crime for eluding a police officer while they are trying to pull you over with willful disregard, and that's a misdemeanor, that's the will of the body. But I cannot, again, in good faith, support this amendment.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of things. Number one, to violate reckless driving, you can be 5 or 10 miles over the speed limit and be technically in violation of that law. I've represented folks who were going no more than 10 miles over the speed limit and were found guilty of reckless driving. And so it's one of those things that the willful and wanton component of it simply means you're intentionally violating the law, so you're intentionally going over the speed limit. Someone who is pulled over for speeding who is inebriated, he is guilty of reckless driving if he's going in and out of the white lines because he's intentionally violating the law. And so the breadth of the encompassment of that language is substantial. And so that's it's very easy then to convict someone of reckless driving. Anyone that's breaking the law by eluding the police and not stopping is basically committing reckless driving. It's almost verbatim the definition. Then if you go up to the next component of this bill, if you cause serious bodily injury to another and you're evading a police officer, you're guilty of at least 2 or 3 other felonies already. You just are. If you cause property damage more than $5,000, you are guilty of a felony. All by punishment of at least 5 years in jail and more. And so just food for thought on the bill. I would agree that the or is probably inappropriate, and the reckless component is probably inappropriate. The other is you can charge both, you can charge one, but there are already crimes as they are currently written without this bill.
We are on committee of the whole amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
One. Mr. Representative Ponnell.
I've got to respond to that. I, you know, the going 5 miles an hour over could be charged reckless. You know, I don't know the full particulars of that case. You know, I would be a little hesitant to think that would fall into our looting going 5 miles an hour, because as I just stated. And from what the testimony we had, going slow and just driving down the road, not trying to hit anybody and not trying to cause any damage, not trying to, you know, run over somebody, that's not a felony eluding. So, you know, officers risk their lives out there trying to save the citizens' lives. And this bill will what I believe help deter some of the eluding that's now taking place, because they really have nothing to lose. You know, it's a misdemeanor. But when they cross that line and try to endanger somebody else's life, then it should be a felony. And here again, it goes through the court. It's, you know, it just isn't the officer's decision. It goes to the court. The court's going to have the final say. And if they don't believe that there's enough evidence, they're not going to charge him. So, you know, there's, again, as we've heard in the past on some testimony, there's three elements to this. There's the officer, there's the prosecutor, and then there's the judge. So I urge you to vote no on this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Question being called. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
No.
Division. I guess we're. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand.
I'm standing.
The amendment is passed. Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Kirkbright's motion, when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation of bill number Senate file 113 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
We'll have to stand. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. I'm a aye. 29-29. Having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Eklund. Ayer. No. Flitner. No. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Garou. No. Gray. Aye. Greer. No. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. No. Henderson. No. Hunt. No. Jennings. No. Kinner. Aye. Kirkbride. Aye. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lone. Lone excused. Laux. Aye. McGuire. Aye. Madden. Aye. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. Obermuller. Aye. Olson. Aye. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. No. Pieperinen. Aye. Pannell. Aye. Salazar. Aye. Schwartz. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. No. Wilson. Aye. Winters. Aye. Zwanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. Aye. Eklund? Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 31 aye, 27 no, 2 excused.
Senate file 113 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 124. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 124, introduced by Senator Kinski, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transaction, an act relating to sales and use tax. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 124, Taxation of Sale and Lease Transaction, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Dayton, Furphy, Hallinan, Kinner, Larson, Madden, Obermuller, Paxton. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Madden?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 124 do pass. The explanation will come from the representative from House District 29, my seatmate.
Go ahead, Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Senate File 124 and explain what it does and why we recommend that it be passed today. So what we have here is a situation, and I'll explain it, and hopefully what I'll do is perk your interest in handling this situation. So what really this does is helps small businesses around Wyoming in a current state of affairs where maybe the economy has twisted a little bit, and maybe we have a situation where a small business owns a lot of their equipment and has a lot of money tied up in that. So let's just suppose that a small business has hit a rough patch and that it does own, in fact, all of its equipment, and there are two financing options. One is to go down to the local institution, of which I was very familiar for many years, and take out a note, and they would receive money, cash money, from borrowing on that equipment. And then they pay monthly payments to that, and that's not a taxable situation because they own the equipment, they're just borrowing on the equipment. So that's one situation. However, having been in that position many times, You don't loan 100% of the value of that equipment, so you only loan a portion of that, and so that situation could be enhanced by a situation where that company sells that piece of equipment to a leasing company, a small leasing company, and then leases that equipment back. And in that situation, currently, that transaction would be taxed because they're basically selling the equipment and leasing their own equipment back. This bill, however, rectifies that situation where if you sell your equipment to a leasing company, lease it back, that is not taxed under this bill. And that's why we recommend passage for this, because basically it's an arrangement where they are trying to lease back their own equipment, perhaps paid at the end of the day a dollar at the end of it for the transaction. And so this saves that small business the 6%. There would be, you know, the lease transaction, so there would be that situation, but it would prevent them from, or I guess stop them from paying tax on it twice. So they have paid tax on it once, so the state is good. They won't collect it a second time because it's a lease back situation. So that's the bill in a nutshell, and I'd be happy to address any questions that might arise.
Representative Larson.
Maybe the good presenter can help me with this. And so if I bought a piece of equipment and I'm not following where the sales tax is paid. But if I choose to turn around and sell that piece of equipment to a leasing entity, now that might be my wife, it might be my children, or it might be a larger entity, they wouldn't have to pay sales tax on that as long as they lease that back to me within the time specified. And I'm trying to find out, that's so, where do we gain that sales tax from that we're, I'm struggling there. If you could help me through that a little bit.
Okay, as I understand it, in the lease.
Oh. Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'll just add one more question in for the good bringer of the bill. So I have a piece of equipment, and I sell it to a leasing company, and I don't lease it back, I have to pay a sales tax. So I'm going to repeat that in case you didn't hear it. So I have a piece of equipment, and I sell it to a leasing company, and I don't lease it back, I have to pay a sales tax. That's my first question. In this arrangement with this bill, I sell a piece of equipment to the leasing company and lease it back, and I don't have to pay the sales tax. So it seems to me like we're creating a double standard. One guy, if I sell to a leasing company and don't lease it back, I have to pay a sales tax. No? Okay. So I need it explained.
Representative Kinner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to take that one first. In that situation where you would sell that piece of equipment to the leasing company, they would not have to pay tax unless they actually sold the piece of equipment or if they leased it. And if they leased it, then each transaction, that monthly payment, that is taxed. It's because it's a lease transaction. So that's the transaction that's taxed. What we're trying to do prevent from happening is that if you are leasing back your own equipment, you've already paid sales tax on it once, and then it goes to them, they would have to tax those individual leases, that the lease payments. And this bill prevents that from happening. If it's your own piece of equipment and the transaction takes place within a set number of days, so in other words, an immediate transaction. And I hope that also addresses the former representative's question as well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope I'm not going to ask the same question again, but it's just, I guess, because of my ignorance. I was kind of hoping that this would be a bill that I wanted to vote for, but now I'm puzzled because, so if I sell something to another company, it would be taxable, and then if I go, let's say I just wanted a different color one. I mean, I'm imagining. I sold a green and yellow one, and I wanted a red and white one. So I sell the green and yellow one to one company, and I go to another company and lease a red and white one. I pay sales tax both times, once on the sale and then on the lease. But on the other hand, if I sell the green and yellow one and then lease it back, I only pay once. And I have to say what that really sounds like to me is a sneaky way to avoid paying the sales tax that everybody else would have to pay in two unrelated transactions. And I guess maybe that could be clarified for me.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I spent 23 years figuring out how to do stuff like this. So as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I own all my equipment in an LLC, and hard times come, so I sell everything, all the equipment, and it's taxed. And then I take the LLC and I sell it to another person who can then go and lease all the equipment back. Because under our canons of statutory construction, a person's an entity, and it doesn't have any sideboards on about control or anything of that entity. So did you think through or discuss the loopholes that guys like me like to work with?
Representative Kinner.
With the good country lawyer, that could be an amendment that we could look at that would take care of that loophole. That might be something that's suggested. Now, going back to the other representative's question, in that situation, when she didn't like the color of it and she would sell it, she wouldn't have to pay the tax on it. The ultimate buyer would have to pay the tax on that. But if she wanted to go then and lease a red unit because she liked the color of it, then that lease would be taxed on each payment of the lease. So that would be the transaction that's taxed. Hope that helps.
Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we're trying to get to is very simple. When you sell and lease back, when you bought the piece of equipment, you paid sales tax when you purchased it. Now, the leasing company, if the leasing company has to also pay sales tax, they're going to wrap that sales tax into your lease payments. So you, as the original purchaser, are paying the tax twice. And that's what we're trying to get away from. So the leasor does not have to pay the sales tax if the original purchaser did that within 7 days before he leased it. That's what we're trying to get to. Hope that explains it. Thanks.
Representative Kinner.
Call for the question.
Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Madden's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, you do so with a recommendation that Senate File 124 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no?
No.
Standing. It didn't pass. Failed. We'll have it. Let's see where we're at. Standing division vote. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 17. Having failed the standing committee vote, the
reading clerk, well.
Oh, yeah.
Call the roll.
We'll call the roll. Excuse me.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bovey.
No.
No. Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Connolly.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund. Excused. Air.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Flitner. Aye. Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
No.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kenner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone. Excused. Laux.
No.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
Northrup.
No. Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters. Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Winters. Winters. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 24 aye, 33 no, 3 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, Senate File 124, having failed a roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. Let me find. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 155. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 155, introduced by Senator Burns, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 155, engrossed, Bar and Grill Liquor License Increase, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Zwanitzer. Noes, Representatives Blackburn, Edwards, Lone, and Sweeney. Signed, Representatives Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move in the committee of the whole rise to report to do so with the recommendation that Senate File 155 do pass. I would further move the standing committee amendment, which would be substitute number 1 to the bill, but I would turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from District 38 to explain the blue copy before we explain the substitute bill, if that pleases the chair.
Representative Winters. My apologies, Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're working off Senate File 155, working off the blue copy currently. I think we can do that if I'm not mistaken. And so what we're doing in this bill is we're adjusting the population requirement for bar and grill liquor licenses. Bar and grill liquor licenses were created a few years back. They require certain amounts of food to be served, and you have to close your alcohol serving at the same time as the food unless other exceptions have been made upon your license. And that's kind of the general explanation of what a bar and grill license does. But this is really discussing the population base, and it it increases the number of licenses available in certain communities. So it increases the number of licenses available in about 13 communities across the state where there is a deficient number available. And so it increases opportunity for young entrepreneurs to get into the market. And because here in the state of Wyoming we have this population quota, really the state has started to create a cartel-type business with these licenses. At least in the bar and grill, it is not transferable and not saleable like the retail licenses are, but it does still limit the ability for business growth. And so with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration of Senate File 155 and answer any questions.
You have heard the motion on the standing committee?
Nope.
Chairman Zoniker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So at this time, I'd like to move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, also known as Substitute Number 1, to Senate File 155. And so what our good colleagues down the hall, when they brought this bill, did, the biggest impact to this, to the formula in the blue version, is it gives the two largest cities in the state an additional 16 bar and grill licenses from the current cap. The committee felt that number may be too high, and so what the yellow copy, the substitute, does is limit those to 6 for the two largest cities of the state. It does tweak some of the numbers back closer to the original statutory language. You'll actually see in the substitute bill there isn't even a Romanet 1 because that's exact identical language to what's currently in statute. And so for voting for the substitute number 1, you're basically saying that the two largest cities in the state should only go 6 bar and grill licenses above the cap. If you vote no, you're saying the two largest cities in the state should get 16 more bar and grill licenses above the current cap. And that would be the policy question for the body.
You've heard the motion on the question being called. All those in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is adopted. Chairman Zwanaker?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And because I know it's late and because I know you're going to see several amendments on second reading of this bill, if it passes, to further delineate some of these numbers, and we're going to have a robust conversation tomorrow if this passes, I'd be happy to call for the question and enjoy the debate when we're fresh in the morning.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Senate File 155 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 158. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 158, sponsored by Senator Case. Depositions by telephone, an act relating to evidence and witnesses. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 158, Depositions by Telephone, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Pelkey, Pannell, Salazar, and Winters. No, Representative Olson. Signed, Representative Kirkbride. Chairman.
Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 158 do pass, and I'll present the bill. We're creating a new article in the Statute 112-100 series, which is entitled Witnesses Generally. So we're in the rules for taking testimonies in various contexts, defining contempt, defining an oath. If you can imagine in a deposition, there's 4 parties involved. There's the person being deposed. There's the attorney taking the deposition. There's a court reporter recording it. And it all starts off with an officer who swears in the person being deposed. So this bill simply provides some flexibility, probably some savings of time and effort for the court reporters by allowing this little network to all take place remotely. So on page 1 down on line 12, the court may authorize the deposition to be taken remotely by commission over telephone or through other electronic means. And if that's authorized, then the court may also authorize the witness to be sworn in remotely over telephone or through other electronic means. And there's probably enough technology already to do a four-way connection like this, but I believe the bill is broad enough that it will allow for technology yet to be invented to kick in and make this even more possible in the years to come. So that's the bill. I don't know if there's any people who live in this world who wish to speak to it, but
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't live in this world, actually, and really know nothing about it other than that I once translated a 240-page deposition from an island nation, but that's irrelevant, essentially. But my question is actually whether this is too narrow, and the reason I ask, and really I don't know much about it, but I see that Title 112.111, procuring testimony of imprisoned witness, is out there, and I wonder whether that might to be brought in. It doesn't seem to touch, this maybe doesn't touch on that, I'm not sure. And the other question I have, and again, because I'm not familiar with the procedures, but over the interim, I was visiting with a local mental health facility where they lock up people in preparation for Title 25 hearings or that sort of thing, and they have a room where they can do basically interviews by computer and such like, so that the person doesn't have to be taken from the locked mental health facility down to the court and back again. And they were talking about how advantageous this would be in other places. So I'm wondering whether is what they're doing prohibited, or is that actually not the deposition? I guess my question is either, is this necessary or is it too narrow? I'm not even sure if those are mutually incompatible questions.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question for the folks in judiciary or who reviewed this. I have been taking depositions over the phone remotely for over 35 years. Sometimes the recorder is there. Sometimes the reporter is not. And so we do this all the time. It's authorized under the rules. And so I'm kind of interested why this bill is out here, because it doesn't do anything that we can't already do, as far as I'm aware.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you'll notice if you were tracking the votes from the committee, I was the lone vote that voted no. And this isn't a bad bill. You know, folks have been asking me, well, isn't it a good thing to take depositions by telephone? And I think the good chairman of appropriations just answered that question. You can already take depositions by telephone. Under our rules of civil procedure, we already allow for that. What this bill does is it provides a clarification on where you swear in the deponent. So if you've got someone in New York and you're going to do a deposition over the phone, and the case is out of Wyoming, do you swear them in Wyoming or do you swear them in New York? Honestly, I don't think you need the bill to answer that question, because telephonic depositions are very rare. They're rare because they can change the dynamics of litigation. So a lot of the times to get one, you're probably going to need a hearing before a judge to grant that discovery request. And when you go to that hearing, you're going to answer all these questions in the hearing. The judge is going to say, well, counselors, where are you going to swear this deponent in New York or Wyoming? And it's all going to be in the order. And so I think this bill, I'm not real sure what it accomplishes. I would urge you to vote against it. Everything that it tries to accomplish, you can already do under the rules of civil procedure. I'm just not real sure what it's accomplishing.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Kirkbright's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with recommendation that Senate File 158 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 16. Having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. No. Barlow. No. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. No. Blake. No. Bovee. Bovee. Excused. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart. No. Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund. Excused. Ayer.
No.
Flitner. No. Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Guru.
No.
No. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner. Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone. Excused. Laux.
No.
McGuire.
No.
Madden. Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey. Aye. Piperinen.
No.
Ponell. Aye. Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
No. Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 9 aye, 48 no, 3 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, Senate File 158, having failed the roll call vote, is indefinitely postponed. The next bill for your consideration is Senate File 26. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 26, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality, an Act relating to Game and Fish. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 26, engrossed, Game and Fish Licenses, Confidentiality, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Allen, Flitner, Freeman, Guru, Haley, Halverson, McGuire, and Steinmetz. No, Representative Clem. Signed, Representative Allen, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 26 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment, which I will take care of at this time. Let me just explain the bill just a little bit. It's not a very difficult bill. What it does is for hunters that are applying for a hunting license, they may choose to not designate their they may choose not to identify themselves with their personally identifiable information. There we go. So on the standing committee amendment, all that does is it adds to those categories, which are date of birth, email, driver's license, and so forth. It adds passport number and sportsperson ID number. So I would call for the question on the standing committee amendment at this time.
Question have been called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. There is another amendment, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Representative Piperinen.
Thank you, Chairman Crank. I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 26 and ask for your favorable consideration. This simply puts in the telephone number amongst those that are identified as confidential pieces of information here. This no sooner came out, I was contacted by somebody in my district saying he doesn't want anybody to have his telephone number. He'd rather them email him. That way he can choose whether to respond or not. But it's difficult to do that when they're calling you right there on the telephone.
Question being called. We are Committee of Whole Amendment Number 1. All those in favor of Committee of Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. We are back on the bill.
Question.
Oh. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, body, I'm going to ask you to oppose this bill. This is an interim committee bill, and let me just start out where its genesis came from. So again, this is for sportsmen, not any and all sportsmen. If you buy a fishing license, if you buy a game license of any sort, then what happens is the department gets some information from you. Currently, that information, your telephone number and your email in particular, can be given out to different companies who may want to try to contact you. The genesis of this bill came about. There was someone who was upset that they got emailed by one of these companies and said they no longer want their email address to be given out to any of these companies. They didn't like the email because they didn't know how to set up a spam box or something of that nature. So that's where the genesis of this bill came from. And so what... This creates a whole new section. Keep this in mind. So what this is, 23.1706, this is a whole new section that we're creating, and we're saying that the commission shall establish a process by which an applicant for any game and fish license, permit, or tag authorized by this act may designate as public personally identifiable information required for the applicant to purchase the license, permit, or tag. And what we're saying is this is an opt-in kind of thing. So if you want to opt into this, and there was people in here, and this is where I'm glad we passed the last amendment, because there were some people that said, well, our phone numbers should be available if someone wants to get a hold of us, but not the email. It seems a little bit backwards, and so I'm glad we put the phone numbers back in there. But really, this is an opt-in kind of program instead of an opt-out. I would feel a whole lot better, and I think it started out as an opt-out, and it was changed along the way to where you really can't change it back. And so this is basically saying if you want your email address or your telephone number to be be available, I guess, to others, then you have to opt into that. And it is a policy call. It's different from what we're currently doing. I feel much more comfortable with an opt-out. But I wanted to give that a little background there. And so with that... I would ask you to vote no on this. Thank you.
Chairman McKim? Representative Limholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this piece of legislation. When we're looking at buying these game tags, we're looking to buy game tags so you can go out hunting, not so you can be contacted by third-party vendors. This is an opt-in. This is exactly what we want. If you want to get contacted by third-party vendors, opt in, put in your email address, put in your phone number. But if you don't, buy your tag so you can go out and go hunting. This is a good piece of legislation, and vote aye.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very briefly to support the previous speaker on and for this bill. Again, when we go on to buy our antelope or elk tags, we opt into other things. You want to pay for access, yes. You opt in and check however many dollars. You want to do something else, you opt in. It seems a simple enough thing to have another box do you want to release your information to require the citizen who thinks he's buying or he, she is buying a license tag to then also do the opposite of the other opt-in boxes and find a box to opt out to have your information released seems to me backwards. So I think this is a good bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the bill, right now your information can be shared, and this just gives you a way to stop that. So on and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that the agency has rulemaking authority to do this and put this as a checkbox on whatever application and license you're getting. So the question is, why are we going so far over the top to make this statute? On and against.
Representative Klim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to add a little more information as well, this is, you know, just isn't for third-party vendors. This also affects sportsman groups and whatnot. So a lot of times sportsman groups throughout Wyoming want to know who's actually involved in these sportsman types of activities. And so what they'll do is they'll get that information from the department that deals with fish and game, and they'll reach out to these individuals. So right now with this bill, you're no longer going to be able to do that, at least not in the way that they've been able to before. Furthermore, how is this going to affect landowners? Right now, if they need to get information about someone who's hunting on their land, perhaps they didn't get a phone number or something like that, they can call the department. But now, if they didn't check that box, you're not getting that information. And so again, there's some different ramifications with this thing, so on and against.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To answer not the previous speaker, but the speaker before, basically there can't be a policy decision on there because of the Freedom of Information Act. Under that, we're protecting those items now to where that they can't be released. One of the testimony that we heard is that they thought that the agency that is in charge of this was selling that, and it wasn't. They would just put in a Freedom of Information Act, and basically what would happen is they would have the list, and then the obtrusion began. Please,
Representative
vote
Hunt.
For the ball.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just real quick to address an issue that was just brought up a couple of speakers ago. As far as it applies to potentially landowners needing information about who's hunting on their property. If it is on private property, or if they're looking to get the state land that is landlocked by private property, the folks hunting are going to need to get permission anyway, so one would hope that that the landowners would already have an idea of who's out there and hunting on their place. So on and in support of the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Allen's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 26 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This Senate File 26 has passed committee of the whole.
Mr. Chairman.
Majority Whip.
I move the committee of the whole rise and report.
Is that it?
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The reading clerk will read the committee of the whole report.
February 22, 2017. Mr. Speaker, our committee of the whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 113, amended and further amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 124. Following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 155. Amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 158. Following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 26. amended, and further amended. Recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Crank, Chairman.
I move the adoption of the committee the whole report.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Congratulations, Chairman Crank. Committee Chairman, be ready for your announcement. We'll go to committee announcements, and then we'll take the motion to adjourn. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two announcements. Your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet tomorrow at 8:15 a.m. in S-18 to meet with our like counterparts from the Senate to discuss interim topics. Immediately concluding that meeting at 9:30 in S-18, we'll have Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 22. Again, Joint Conference Committee number 1, House Bill 22, 9:30 tomorrow in S-18.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue Committee number 3 will be meeting on Friday, February 24, with our counterparts to talk about interim topics. And you should be getting a copy of the list of all of these topics that have been submitted directly tomorrow. Thank you.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder, in the morning at 8:30, we'll meet in your travel committee number 6. We'll meet in S-27 at 8:30 to consider joint interim topics. And then another reminder on Monday at 8 in L-54, we'll meet and we'll hear a presentation from the director of the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust.
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in L-51, that is L-51, for an informational meeting on water law presented by a local attorney. All are welcome to attend. It's just an informational session and should be very informative. And then also at noon, we will be meeting in L-51 again to listen to a debate team from a local FFA chapter. And this is something we do every year, the committee. Also, once again, everyone is welcome to attend. Always a very entertaining and informative time. So, hope you can make it. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Corporations Conference Committee will meet after the Rules Committee meeting tonight between 6 and 6:30. And your House Joint Appropriations Committee, or your House Appropriations Committee, will meet at noon to hear Senate File 49 in gross and Senate File 70, manufacturing machinery exemptions. And sometime tomorrow, the conference committee will meet as well. Don't know when.
Members, our Rules Committee number 12 will meet upon adjournment in Jonah Room H38 to hear Senate File 28 in gross, revisers bill, Senate File 29, legislative employees, and Senate File 108 in gross, lawsuits challenging state legislative acts. Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, Economic Development, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes after noon recess, with the Senate committee to discuss interim topics, and that'll be in Jonah Room L-54. I also, Mr. Speaker, need to announce a joint conference committee number 2 on Senate File 06 will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., and we'll meet in the Senate Minerals Room. And sorry, I don't know the room number.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, the Joint Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Jonah Room L-54 to consider interim topics.
And Chairman Northrop.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4 will meet tonight upon adjournment in L-54. We're going to hear the following bills. We're going to hear Senate Journal 9, Public School Financing, Senate File 157, Education Continuing Contract Teacher Status, and Senate File 165, School Finance Education Funding Reductions.
Thank you, former Chairman Northrop. Chairman Kirkbride.
Privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last weekly legislative prayer breakfast of the session will be tomorrow morning at 6:30 in L51. We'll hear from Melissa Swallow, the director of the University Christian Fellowship chapter at LCCC. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Friends, you've probably seen that the mugs were delivered today, and several of you have asked me if there are more available. The answer is yes. And so before I send them down the hall, here's a new sheet. If you haven't signed up and you still want mugs or you want more mugs, again, it'll be on my desk. Just put your money or your check in there, and we'll get them to you in the next day or so.
Okay, Representative Beitman.
Privilege, please.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From Ranchester, Wyoming, the Curlin family is here. If you'd please stand up in the fishbowl. We got Ivanica, Brian, Pat, and Kendra from Ranchester, Wyoming.
Welcome to the house. Welcome to the house. Number three on our license plates, but still number one in our heart. Last announcement. Members, I put a sticky note on the 34th legislature. Representative McGuire brought it to my attention, but many of you have read that former member, John Wold, passed away. He was 100 years old, the longest surviving member of the U.S. Congress as well after he left this body. But you can look back 60 years ago and see that young stud right there working on the same issues that we're working on today, and so I thank Representative McGuire for bringing that to my attention, and certainly a big loss for Wyoming. And so take a minute at some point and just take a look and reflect on that. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just another comment on our Representative Wold, who was also the first geologist in the U.S. Congress. And, of course, he wanted us to drill more wells in Wyoming also. With that, Mr. Speaker, our general file for tomorrow will be Senate File 169, 123, 35, 81, and 132. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 9:30 tomorrow, Thursday, February 23rd, 2017.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is adjourned until tomorrow, Thursday, February 23rd at 9:30 a.m.